This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
How are we doing here on a Sunday evening? Hot damn! The Packers did what they were supposed to do, and that is lay a whooping on a depleted, hurt San Francisco 49ers football team. Can I tell you for certain that I was not concerned in the third quarter? No, I cannot, because I think I was getting a little concerned in the third quarter. But they figured it out. The defense came up with some big takeaways, and then you were able to kind of run away and hide. 38 points is a lot of points, and I don't care who you're playing in the National Football League. It could have been the Carolina Panthers. It could have been the Chiefs, the Bills. Doesn't matter to me who it is. You score 38 points, that's a damn good performance by offense and defense when you win 38-10, which is exactly what happened today. As we're broadcasting from the 1250 AM at 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here. Crazy Takes, Tommy Wirtz over there. I enjoyed that. I'll be honest, I enjoyed that because seemingly we lose to this team all the time. Now, I understand that there will be some that will say it doesn't mean as much. You didn't beat them with everybody. It doesn't mean as much. And I understand that. I do. And I get it. I really do. But who cares? This team needs every win they have to have in order to get in the playoffs. This isn't a one-loss team like the Detroit Lions. This team already has three losses. You're still trying to catch the Vikings, who damn near squandered that game against the Bears today. So So you've got to catch second before you can catch first. So every win is important. I tweeted it out earlier today. I think it was Twitter. It was that or Blue Sky. I don't remember. One of them. I get so confused now having multiple apps going here at the same time. But one of them, this was a must win. You had to have this win today. Under no circumstances could you lose this football game today to that team with that quarterback and what they had left to play with. Just could not happen. On Friday, at Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, Charlie Usen and I were talking about this. And when it officially came out during the show that Purdy was out and Bosa was out, I said, oh boy, if there wasn't pressure before with them talking essentially being in the Packers' heads because the Packers can't beat them, there's even more pressure now because now you certainly can't lose to this team. And the concern I had was, oh boy, Jordan Love, decision-making, baby. Don't force the issue. I know you want to beat them. I get it. Don't do anything dumb and cost this team points. Please don't do anything dumb. He made one, well, maybe a couple of questionable throws. One for certain, but they were offsides. Now, they didn't know there was going to be a motion penalty on offense at the same time, but he knew he had a free play and threw it right to the dude in the end zone. But you knew that wasn't going to count when he threw it, so he wasn't all that concerned about it. Fine. Threw another one that probably could have been picked later in the game. Now, when you look at it from the perspective of LaFleur and Love, I think you feel a little bit better. Even though you beat them without, you know, all their guys, I still think you feel a little bit better. But I want to know how you feel, Packer fans, after watching that game. How happy are you after watching the game? How excited are you about this team after watching that game? Or do you still have concerns and doubts and you're still not satisfied? Nicolay Law, fan, talking text line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Jordan Love. We'll hear from players inside the Packers locker room, all coming up here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here this evening. To you, Tommy Wirtz, I say, how excited are you about this 38-10 victory for your Green Bay Packers?
I would say that if we're on a scale of 1 to 10, solid 7, I think that you hit it already. It does not count the same with a completely healthy San Francisco lineup. And you just mentioned two guys. They also didn't have their all-pro first ballot left tackle, Trent Williams, Tre'Varius Ward, their number one corner, is out for personal reasons. I mean, this was a very depleted San Francisco team. And I had posed the question to Charlie yesterday on Wisconsin Sports Weekend. You needed to win this game by two possessions when you knew that was going to be the case for anyone to have anything positive to say about you. If this game
the spread in that game was only like 6.5, I think.
I know, and I thought that was criminal.
It started at 5.5 before the Purdy news.
Right. So I think you needed to dominate this game because Matt LaFleur, you know what he can do with his offense. Halfley was going to get a much easier scheme with a backup quarterback going out there. And, I mean, kudos to Shanahan. He had a lot of faith in Allen early in that game. They came out throwing. They weren't really relying on McCaffrey. And Halfley shut down McCaffrey very well today, too. So I think that's good news as well. But it's not the same as if they had Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy, Trent Williams in this game, and you beat them 38-10. Now, you said this was a must win.
Must.
The Packers' playoff chances, according to Pro Football Focus, with a win today, went up to 90%. Mm-hmm. If they would have lost this game, they went down to 60%.
Correct. That was on the TV graphic. Yep.
That is absolutely correct. They needed to win no matter what. I get the idea of we need to just win this game. But again, an unhealthy San Francisco team, no confidence on that side. You know they didn't come in thinking they were going to shock the world. They wanted no one else to get hurt. So I am happy that the Packers pretty much dominated this game. Definitely not mistake-free, but not a lot to complain about.
This stat scared the bejesus out of me during the game, okay? This was a stat from like November 5th when this guy, Elliot Sill, tweeted this out at PackerForce on Twitter. The Packers, after getting a 3-score lead in the Matt LaFleur era, including playoffs, so 3-score lead or more, okay?
Oh, no.
We're outscored 398-283 and based on who outscores whom over the rest of that game, had a record of 6-19-8 in those situations. You would think when you have a 3-score lead, you'd feel really good about things.
Right.
After I saw that stat, I didn't feel so good about things at that point.
Well,
and then the third quarter came, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yes.
I walked in here to start the fourth, and you go to me, I feel like I'm watching the Badgers again. Right?
Yes.
I mean, the offense, we couldn't move the ball.
They had another stat that popped up that the last time the Niners were down by 3 possessions or more in the first half was when they came back on the Rams.
Oh, like, I didn't see that. That's great.
So it was literally the last time this even happened to the Niners, they won the game. And I thought you were going to say something like the last time, you know, when Matt LaFleur has that, he loses all his games.
No, he didn't lose all of them. No, he didn't lose all of them. But again, in this situation with all those guys down and you being healthy, you had to figure out a way to capitalize. There were a lot of good things in this game, right? Van Ness made a play. Ho-ho!
This is the best Quay Walker's played all year. Oh,
he should have had a pick, though.
He was in the backfield,
Sparky.
He could
have closed his eyes when the ball hit him in his hands.
He made tackles before the line of scrimmage, Sparky.
Yes, he did.
It was. I'd never seen him do it before. I was so happy for him. It's true.
He had never seen himself do it in an NFL game either.
I've never seen him behind offensive linemen.
Neither has he.
Yes, it was crazy.
Quay Walker was nice. Yes, when he dropped that interception early in the game or whatever, second quarter, whatever that was, I was just like, oh, dude, come on, man. Dude, everybody's roasting you already.
He's allergic to catching footballs.
Please don't do it.
Yes.
Speaking of that, Christian Watson, but please, for the love of God, do not do that in a playoff game, please. You could do it in a regular season game, I guess, fine. But in a playoff game, man, like 45-yard score, Jordan Love could not have thrown that any better. He couldn't have thrown it any better. That was picture-perfect throw by Jordan Love.
Game was over then if they would have made that catch. I mean, that gave San Francisco a little bit of life.
Well, the problem was, and again, I'll go back to Twitter again, another tweet I saved, because I tweeted out like, hold on, I'll tell you exactly what I tweeted out. I said, should have had at least 3 there on that possession, but got greedy. Yes, Watson should have had a touchdown, but you need points of some sort there, right?
Mm.
And then one person responded, P10 poll or whatever that is, poor choice by LaFleur to have 3 bombs, especially with 2 timeouts. Gunslinger 10 responded back to both of us, I'd bet anything LaFleur didn't call those last 2 deep balls. I bet that was 100% on Love. LaFleur is pretty conservative in those situations. I mean, he called 2 runs to start that drive. He did call 2 runs, and I thought he was just saying, okay, I don't want to turn it over, so we'll just go in with the lead. We're good. But then Jacobs did something with both runs. So now you're at midfield, and you're like, okay, one good 15-yard throw, I got a chance for McManus. So he throws the ball to Watson. Boom. Okay, he drops it. So now instead of just taking 7 or 8 yards here and there and getting in field goal range, which maybe LaFleur did want, I don't know, Love continued to throw, get greedy, and threw one into double coverage to Watson. And was the other one behind Dobbs? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it wasn't really on the money, no.
Yes. So those were the other 2 throws after that Watson drop. They should have gotten 3 there. Like, there has to be some type of communication, I would think, from LaFleur after the first one of, okay, you took your shot. Fine. It didn't work. Let's get into field goal range now, Jordan. Let's go. Now, if everybody's covered and you got to go, fine. But I'm throwing sideline passes and moving up the field.
I think that I hear what you're saying, but if the Packers were up 13 or 14 in that situation, I think Matt LaFleur is more open to that idea. Going up 13 and going up 10, I don't think they thought it made much of a difference at the time. The 49ers offense was starting to move a little bit. You're up 2 possessions either way.
My thing. Points are points, bud. I mean, if I can get 3 points, I don't know if I'll need those 3 points at the end of the game if I lose by a field goal. I don't know if I'll need those points whatever.
Yes.
But if I have a chance to get points to get momentum going into halftime to score walking off the field at home and letting the Niners think about, man, we just gave up a score with less than a minute to go. LaFleur never even used his timeouts when the Niners had the ball getting ready to score.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, he's going to burn a timeout or 2 here, make sure he's got some time to score. Nope, just let it run. I was like, cool, you can run out the half, San Francisco, if you want. They didn't because nobody decided to cover George Kittle. Not sure why. I would think if Evan Williams saw George Kittle, he'd decide somebody should be on George Kittle. But nobody was on George Kittle. But again, I just think at that point, you have to figure out a way to at least get three in that situation. Regardless of, I don't care if they're up by 2, 5, 21, 24. I don't care what the score is. Just get the points. You have a chance to get the points. Now, again, this is the same type of deal that I say when you get down there and it's 4th and 5 or 4th and 3 or whatever, and you're inside like the 5 or the 10. I'm just not a big proponent of not taking points. Now, if you're chasing 14 and there's, you know, 5 minutes to go in the game, okay, fine, I get it. Then you have to go for it. You're running out of time. You have to get the score. That I understand. First, second, third quarters, just give me the points and let's roll. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't like to gamble as much in those situations, Tommy.
I think that head coaches don't look at points as much as possessions anymore. I think that's, if I had a best guess.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah, you don't look at it as points, you look at it as possessions. And that's why I never understand that it's not more common practice when coaches are up by 7, you know, and for instance, you're up 14-13, right? And you get a touchdown and you kick your extra point, now you're up 8. Why would it not be worth it to go for 2 to go up by 9 more than it is to kick the extra point to go up by 8 and make a 2-point conversion?
Way too deep a thought for me. That's great, because then if you miss it, you're still up 7.
Right. And
right?
That's
so you're
same
still up
deal.
One
and
score.
And the 33-yard extra point is not a guarantee anymore.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. All right, so here you go. Nikolay Law fan talking text line. How excited are you about this victory? I mean, Josh Jacobs, man, running all over people in this game, like he's been doing for the last several weeks, if we're thinking about it. I mean, if you go back to that Bears game, that first drive, they ran all over him. And then, of course, we got away from the run somewhat. Tonight, he ran all over the Niners. This year, and Brady talked about it. During the game, him and Burkhart, they have got to play this way. This is just how it has to be. You have to rely on Jacobs and this running game more than LaFleur did with Aaron Rodgers when he was quarterback. You just do. You cannot play the same style that you'd play with Rodgers with Love in this offense for multitude of reasons. Number one, your receivers drop balls. Number two, your quarterback throws interceptions. Number three, your running back can take the pounding and keep on going, unlike the last guy. So from that perspective, it all lines up. The better he runs the football, the better play action is, the more opportunities you have to strike big, like Love had there with Christian Watson. That all works. I don't see how in any scenario it makes sense to have Jordan Love throw the ball 40 times and Josh Jacobs run 12. Like, in no scenario should that ever happen. It should consistently be wear down the opposing offense, run the football, let the offensive linemen lean on those defensive linemen to really break this thing open in the second half. That's what it should be. There should never be a possession where we throw 3 straight times and punt. I don't see any reason why that should ever exist. You should consistently be trying to pound the rock. And for the most part, I think they have done that this year. There have been spurts in the middle of games where they've gotten away from it, which is typical Matt LaFleur stuff. But for the most part, Tommy, I feel like they've had a better focus on running the ball more. And I haven't even looked at the split run to pass, but it feels like they're running the ball more, maybe consistently, than they did before when they had Aaron Jones.
Yeah, and I mean, Josh Jacobs had 19 carries in the first half. He only finished the game with 26. Yep. He didn't touch it a lot. He was cramping. I know that
he was in the locker room at one point.
Yeah. I will. Here's first crazy take of the day for you here. I'm going to say that the A.J. Dillon injury is a blessing in disguise. I think Emmanuel Wilson's the best backup running back they've had since A.J. Dillon's been here. I love the guy. He deserves as many carries as a backup should get, two on this team. Every time he gets tackled, it's because 4 guys are touching him. He's never going down on the first guy to get you there as well. I mean, he had a very solid day where he was getting 5 yards every time he touched the ball, too. So I think that the Packers, they know their identity is that they should be a run-first team and then set the pass up. I think they struggle with that identity because of what their teams have been before. And even when they had Aaron Rodgers, you knew that if that Eddie Lacy could have the nice day, it was always going to help you out, or James Starks or Ryan Grant or whoever the running back would be. They have the guy now. They're paying Josh Jacobs more than any other running back is getting paid this year in the NFL. Rely on the guy. He's been a unit for you. He's obviously going to be the best player of the game when we get to that segment, already into it later on in the show. I would love to get Josh Jacobs 25 to 30 carries a game consistently, no matter what.
I'll tell you the biggest difference is LaFleur obviously didn't have Lacy or Grant or those guys. But when McCarthy was here and you had big Eddie Lacy rumbling and stumbling and running over people, he didn't really give them the ball to November. September.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
October, Eddie Lacy miles and just not even coming to the game. He barely got the amount of touches that he got in November and December, because that's when McCarthy decided, when the elements picked up a little bit, it got colder out. Now nobody really wants to tackle Eddie Lacy when it's 25 degrees outside and he's running at you full steam ahead, right?
Sure.
So he really didn't use Lacy as much those first 2 months to keep him healthy and so forth. And then he leaned on him come, you know, November and December and into the playoffs to be that guy. LaFleur, McVay, Shanahan, these guys are all running from the word go in the season. They're doing it all year. And that's because Shanahan's dad, Mike, when he had Terrell Davis and company in Denver, that's what they did. Because before he got to Denver, Elway was winging the heck out of that ball a ton. And by the time Shanahan got to him, Elway was older. He takes Terrell Davis in, what was it, the seventh round out of Georgia. And in preseason and in training camp, Terrell Davis breaks out and announces, hey, I'm here. I want to, let's go. And breaks out his rookie year, and they lean on that dude to go be that guy and take pressure off of Elway to extend his career.
Even when,
and it worked.
Even when the Packers made their Super Bowl run almost 15 years ago, it was James.
God, it's been that long. Well, it's been, well, 13 years, right? 14 11, years and
right?
25.
11, 2011.
Yeah. Yep.
I will say this. God. They do not win that Super Bowl without relying on James Starks. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yes, sir.
Everyone knows that.
Yes.
You need a guy to rely on in the run game.
Yes.
So, if it's going to be Josh Jacobs to make a big run in the late push of this season to help catch Minnesota, to help win more than one playoff game, to win a Super Bowl, why not Josh Jacobs? He's a lot better on paper than James Starks was.
Absolutely he is. And you look at this running back depth, Chris Brooks, that tripping call, what are you doing? That was a big personal foul, 15-yard call in that game today. But having said that, you've got a draft pick that hasn't played, who is, I think, more talented than all these dudes. You've got Jacobs, and you've got Wilson. Now, I don't know if Wilson will be back next year or not, but either way, the depth in this running back room is as deep as it's ever been with talented dudes that all, if Jacobs goes down and you had to rely on one of these other guys to be a starter, no, they're not Jacobs, but you still feel pretty good going into a game that they can handle the workload, Tommy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to say it like a positive thing. I would love to see what Emmanuel Wilson could do as a starting running back for a whole game, just because I think he could get 100. I think he would have had 100 yards if he was the starting running back today, too. Guy was a beast.
He's got more burst than Jacobs.
Yeah, and he just doesn't go down. I watch him run, Spark. I mean, he just doesn't go down. It's so impressive that it takes three guys every time, and there's so many times today Jacobs did it Wilson did it too. They're in the backfield. There's nothing going on. Play is completely broken. Somehow they're getting back to the line of scrimmage or 3 or 4 yards past it. It's incredible what he can do on the field. I'm super high on Emmanuel Wilson. I think he's a stud backup running back. I think it's severely underrated position on the team right now.
The Niners, I believe, had like 16 missed tackles in the first half.
Yeah.
That's the most in the first half by any team in the NFL, I want to say, all year long. I mean, that is a lot of missed tackles. Now, grant you, they have a lot of guys missing on that defensive side of the ball, so I understand that, especially on the defensive line, they were missing guys. But you're not going to win games in the National Football League if you have that many missed tackles in a game. Nonetheless, that many missed tackles in a half of football.
No, and I mean,
and a lot of that should be credit to the Packers, too, obviously, right?
Fred Warner played this game. I mean, he's one of the best linebackers in the league. Devondre Campbell was an all-pro a little while ago. I know he's gone.
He's not the same guy. But he's still athletic. Yeah. He's still able to make plays if he wants to. If he wants to. He is Tommy Wirtz over there. See Sparky Pfeiffer here. Packers get the win over the Niners 38-10. I want to hear from you. How excited are you about this game? I was going to say, are you excited? But of course, we're all excited about getting a victory. But how excited are you? The fact that they were hurt, does that take away from it for you? And if you're not as excited, does that have to do with who you were playing or what you saw on the field? Nicolay Law, talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us as well at The Fan Milwaukee. We'll come back. We'll go inside the box. That's straight ahead. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM from The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, let's go. Don't forget, 18th Annual Fan Toy Drive and Kiss FM Toy Drive coming up next week. Not tomorrow, but next week. December 2nd through the 6th, Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek will be out there all week long. I'll be doing Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's all week long from 2 until 5 o'clock. Looking forward to that. And we'll have some guests on, the whole deal. And again, collecting toys, cash donations. You can go online. You can go online right now if you want and make a donation right now at thefanmilwaukee.com. The link is up and you can make online donations. And again, Steelwind Industries, the guardian angels of our toy drive. That's what I dubbed them the last couple of years. They are on as a sponsor as well this year. So thanks so much to them. Thanks so much to Bear Sunrooms for providing the sunroom that I'll be broadcasting from out there throughout the course of the week next week. Obviously, Blaine's Farm and Fleet back on as well. And again, this is all for the kids during the holiday season. And really throughout the year. You know, we tend to be their biggest toy drive throughout the year. So they really rely on the listeners of ours to come through in a big way to provide the toys for themselves and Robin's Nest, the foster care arm of them. So hoping to see everybody out there coming up December 2nd through December 6th. All right, let's go inside the box score, and anxious to do this one because when you win 38-10, things should look really good for the Green Bay Packers in the box score. Jordan Love, 13 of 23, 163 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. No interceptions. No interceptions. No interceptions. Did I tell you, Tommy, there were no interceptions thrown by Jordan Love today?
That can't be right.
No interceptions. Wow. It's a zero. Zero interceptions. A
couple interceptable balls.
Shut up. 107.7 rating by Jordan Love. All right, running the football. Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, 106 yards, 3 scores on the day. First time Jacobs has had 3 rushing touchdowns in a game. How happy do you think he is not to be a member of the Raiders?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what an upgrade. What an upgrade that is.
Well, the other team that apparently didn't want to pay him the money were the Giants, Joe Shada Company, who just cut Daniel Jones. And I don't know if you saw the report by, I think it was Jay Glazer or was it Schefter? I don't know. One of them said there are 10 teams interested in signing Daniel Jones this week. 10.
That's insane.
10!
Where do you think he ranks for recency bias? I mean, free agent signings in Packers history. He's getting up there, man.
Oh, Jacobs?
Yeah.
It all depends if they win a Super Bowl. That's what this is all going to depend on.
Okay, how about what if we would go with Goody free agent signings?
I mean, Goody's best free agent signing right now is probably
McKinney? Smith Bros?
I mean, it's early on McKinney, but yeah, probably Preston Smith because he lasted the longest.
Yeah.
Right? Za'Darius Smith was gone. Amos was here for a while, but he was solid, but I wouldn't say he was great by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. I mean, I think McKinney and Josh Jacobs could be one and two before this is all said and done.
And Jacobs definitely on the offensive side.
Yes, 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 for sure. Yeah, because he hasn't really done anything on the offensive side
at
all.
Else. Yeah.
Correct. So Josh Jacobs, 26 for 106, three touchdowns. Emmanuel Wilson, 9 carries for 41 yards. That's a 4.5 yard average. Chris Brooks, 4 for 11. Bo Melton had a run for 5. Watson, a run for 4, including leaping over a dude. Jordan Love, 1 run for 2 yards. Receiving, Romeo Doubs, 3 for 54. He left with a concussion on a ball thrown to him in the end zone. I'll be honest. First of all, I thought he was going to catch it. Second of all, when he went down and then was slow to get up, and I saw the replay, I was like, I don't get it. Like, what happened? I mean, you saw his neck bend, so I was worried that it was his neck maybe.
Yeah.
But they deemed him out with a concussion. So in a concussion protocol, he will go, and we'll see if he's able to go on Thursday night against the Dolphins. I would assume not. I feel like that's a quick turnaround for somebody with a concussion, Tommy.
Yeah, maybe it was more of a stinger. They're just calling it that. I don't know. I also didn't think it was so aggressive, but that's going to be a huge miss. I mean, he saved third down offense this year, or this game, rather. It was awesome. Every time it was third down, it was Romeo Doubs.
No doubt. Tucker Kraft, two catches for 26 yards, including this touchdown.
Gloves looking for Jaden Reed. Not there. Goes back the other way. Sets up a screen. Bouncing off of people and into the end zone. It's Tucker Kraft for the touchdown.
Can I just say that was a great play design? Great play call. Like, the whole thing. I mean, that wasn't, like, that flea flicker they ran early in the game with the Niners was brilliant, right? So you run the flea flicker, comes back to the quarterback, and he goes back to the right side. Who was it, Doubs, or whoever caught that ball on the right side, had four offensive linemen in front of them, and they took up off the right sideline. That was a great play call by Shanahan, A+. This wasn't that, this Kraft touchdown, but he was lost in the mix of the offensive linemen because everybody was kind of jumbled up, and he had the blocking right there with him, and Love kind of threw its sidearm to him, caught it, turned upfield, did what he did, running over people and scores.
Yeah, they did that like inside zone motion where they would pretend to hand it to the motion guy and then hand it to Jacobs earlier in the drive and earlier in the game a couple times.
Well, it busted wide open that first time.
And then they kind of did something similar to that. But then they made a screen out of that play with Tucker Kraft. And I agree. That flea, I've never seen a flea flicker screen in my life.
That was awesome.
That was a crazy play. I mean, that is going to be on everyone's short list of plays to put in from now on because that was an awesome play.
See, and that is the one thing that I think doesn't get talked about enough necessarily, right? So you can come from somebody's tree and be that guy. Right. So you can say, okay, I came from Matt LaFleur's coaching tree, and then I left and I went to be a head coach somewhere and I stunk. And then I left to be the offensive coordinator of the Jets for Aaron Rodgers and I stunk again, right? And okay, is that LaFleur's fault? Probably not. But if you look at McVay and Shanahan, what makes them so good? Play design. Coming up with different play designs for runs, for passes, to scheme guys open. That's what allows them to stand out and be so good. O'Connell in Minnesota, I think, is like that,
Andy
too. Andy Reid in Kansas City. And Matt LaFleur also. Brady must have complimented their running game and the creativity behind it at least a half a dozen times throughout the course of this game, how creative they are. And another guy that's really, really good at creating plays for the running game is Jim Harbaugh. I'll never forget the one time he had a tackle in motion or something like that, running behind the line of scrimmage on a play. Never seen that before in my life, an offensive lineman in motion. But Harbaugh did that when he was in the NFL. So that's the type of stuff that I think separates these offensive play callers is their ability to design plays and show defensive stuff they've never seen before in a different way. And the crazy part about it, Tommy, is out of the same formation, they're running 100 different things, and there's no way to prepare how to stop it.
Yeah, you just think you're going to see something else, and you end up getting what is the result on the field. I mean, it's Matt LaFleur does it all the time with motions.
Yes.
I mean, the Packers are always at the top of the league in motioning now with Matt LaFleur, so he's trying to at least create some sort of misdirection. I'm sure there is a pre-snap read that allows you to you know, cut or insert a play with those motions as well going on throughout it, way above my pay grade. But I'm sure that's all about Matt LaFleur's creativity is because of the motioning he does in his offense.
No question about it. I'll continue on inside the box. Brought to you by our frying folks over there at Steelwind Industries. Jaden Reed, 3 for 26 receiving. Dontavian Wicks, 1 for 25. Malik Heath, 2 for 15. We haven't heard about Malik Heath in a minute. And yet, this happened.
Here's the situation today. They're 4 for 4 in the red zone. They're 50% on third down, and it was better before. And they've got 3 turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. It's been much, much different. Love going to throw a fade here to the corner. It is caught for the touchdown. Malik Heath is in.
People forget about Malik Heath, but he was something in the second half last year. And you just wonder how this is going to continue to change with this offense because you know LaFleur's not giving him everything. LaFleur's not emptying out his bag yet, Tommy.
No.
I'm sure LaFleur has more of the playbook to open up in the second half of this season.
And especially if Dobbs can't go for a week or two.
Correct.
I mean, get ready. Look what happened when you didn't have Jordan Love for 2 weeks.
Right.
What happened with that offense and what he opened up. I'm sure he's got it, too, if weaponry goes down instead of quarterbacks.
Yep. Chris Brooks, 1 for 15. John Fitzpatrick, who they just recently picked up, the tight end, 1 for 2 yards. Defensive plays, 7 tackles, 6 solo, 2 tackle for losses by our guy, Quay Walker, who, again, I think everybody has been screaming about, including Mason Crosby, about his lack of production.
3rd and 5 here. Pressure up the middle. Allen sees it, steps away, and now he's taken down. Packers get home. Quay Walker got there first.
I'm telling you, this is the thing. If Quay Walker ever realizes how to speed the game up in his brain so he's not late reacting to everything coming at him, he could be really good. If we just talk about athletic ability, he's got a ton.
Yeah.
The question is, can he make it all work? And that's been the question nonstop going forward, Tommy.
It was the best performance I can remember out of Quay Walker, definitely this season. I know everyone's going to harp on him for dropping the interception. It was a little bit of a tough play. I'm not going to be so mad about it. He gets a pass defended in the stat sheet.
What,
so
that ball hit him in the shoulder?
And he's in the right place, at least. That, you know, you want him to react better?
I mean, he didn't even have to, like, reach behind him or dive for it. It hit him in the shoulder.
I did see a stat. Let me see if I can find it real quick on my Twitter. There was a stat, actually. Quay Walker is at the top of the league in, like, dropped interceptions when you look at it. It's going back. This is from Rob Domofsky. Going back to that dropped interception by Quay Walker on the last drive, that was his 4th drop pick over the last 3 seasons per ESPN Stats Info. Only 2 players had 4 or more dropped INTs in that span during that time. Darius Williams had 5 and Julian Blackman had 4. So Quay Walker near the top of the league in dropping interceptions.
With all due respect, he is a linebacker. He's not expected to catch footballs. You'd like him to catch some footballs.
One of those,
right?
Would have been awesome.
You would have liked for him to catch some footballs. But either way, nice day today by Quay Walker for sure. Javon Bullard, 7 tackles, 6 solo. Eric Wilson, 4 tackles, 2 solo. Evan Williams, 4 for 2 solo as well. A great piece, and go longtd.com if you have a chance. It's very long, but worth the read. Our guy, Tyler Dunn, who will be on tomorrow at 2:40 on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Wrote a piece about Tyler. This was Tyler Dunn's idea, I believe. He brought them together at a restaurant in Green Bay. It was the Super Bowl champ, Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, and the rookie Evan Williams, and introduced them together, sat down, ate, and let those two just talk amongst themselves, and then he wrote a story about the conversation. It was so good. Highly suggest go checking out golongtd.com. So a lot of good stuff in this one. We'll take a quick time out, come back. We'll focus more on the defensive side of the football. Still time for you. If you want to hop aboard, feel free. Nicolay Law, Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. The Badgers have rallied all the way back to take the lead on Pittsburgh now, 51-50, with 11 minutes to go in that game right now. That's their first lead since 1908 of the first half. So that is a nice comeback by the Badgers. We were talking about this off the air, Charlie and I. Marquette looks unbelievable.
Charlie?
Not Charlie. Tommy, sorry. I call him Tommy, too, so don't worry. When you get old, you're going to see. Like, I call my kids the dog's name. It's just, It's constant. My point was Marquette's been playing outstanding, and the Badgers, by far the most athletic team they've had that I can remember in recent memory. So both these teams will be tournament teams. Both these teams might make runs. Both very fun to watch. Highly advise watching both of them and checking it out. All right, Doug, we'll be back after this. 38-10, the win. The Green Bay Packers take advantage of a depleted San Francisco 49ers team and get the win at the end of the day. Screen Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. And right now, they're looking for full-time independent contractors. Yes, they are. They are looking, and they are looking for you. This is a great job for like retirees looking for a second career and want flexibility in their schedule. All it means is you're driving for a living. That's your career. You get in your cargo van or your sprinter van, whatever the case may be that you own, and you go to point A to pick stuff up, and then you go and drop it off at point B. That's it. You just drive all day. 99% no-touch freight, which means you don't got to be a big dude like me. Small guy like me can do it. Freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is worry about driving. They have over 700 direct customers. They're going to keep you busy with a 24/7 dispatch team. They're going to keep you moving. If you're not moving, you're not making money. Join the Young Express team today. Local full-time independent contractor. So you're driving within about 250 miles of Milwaukee. Join the Young Express team. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's youngexpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. Live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Packers win.
Is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
38-10. The Green Bay Packers come up and do their thing in big style today. Now, there are a couple of things that obviously stand out in this game. And I don't know what stood out the most for you, but I want to know, and throw this out on Twitter and so forth. What moment in this game stood out to you the most for the Packers' 38-10 victory? There was one play to me that stood out more than any other play where I went, holy crap, did that just happen? Did that dude just do that? Some of you may look at Quay Walker. Fair, right? Talk and text line 414-677-1250. What play stood out to you the most? Where it's all done, you're like, dude, did you see X do this? Right? And I don't mean Xavier McKinney when I say X. I mean player X. Should have called it player Y? I don't know. But either way, that's my point. What play stood out to you most? Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. I have my play. I'm pretty sure Tommy knows what it is. I have it all queued up, ready to go. I have my play where I was shocked, stunned that this player actually did something. Stunned. Right here.
Here's Allen going for a far side to McCaffrey and Bob McCaffrey turning on the speed, breaks a couple tackles, and Christian McCaffrey, and the ball came out at the end, and he lost it. Packers recover. Oh my goodness, Green Bay with their third turnover of the day.
Beautiful. Were you still watching the game? Did you already turn it off because you figured it was over? Maybe you were already in your fourth or fifth Jack and Coke and don't remember what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Keyshawn freaking Nixon punched the ball out from behind when McCaffrey was going to the ground. And when I mean punched, I mean he closed-fisted, came back, and as McCaffrey was about to hit the ground, drove through with his fist and knocked that ball out. You see other teams do it all the time. You don't see the Packers do it that much. And he came straight through and forced that fumble at the very end, punching the ball out. And I believe, and I don't know whether or not Tommy will agree with me on this or not, but I believe there is somewhat of an art to doing that and being good at it.
Oh, yeah.
And this team doesn't have an artist necessarily yet that I'm aware of, but that was amazing. Because, first of all, I didn't hear of a lot of Keyshawn Nixon not turning around in this game, so that was a positive. Then Keyshawn Nixon forces a fumble. That was unbelievable, and the way it went about, right? It wasn't like he ran into the head with his ran into the ball with his helmet and popped it out in an accident making the tackle. I don't really give credit for people like doing that stuff. That's just okay, you got lucky. But when you punch it out from behind from somebody, that stands out to me. That's the play that stood out to me, was the Keyshawn Nixon punch out on the McCaffrey fumble.
I think that's a great answer. And
thank you.
A couple of weeks, when they faced the Rams, I believe it was, Evan Williams had a peanut punch out, right?
That's true.
And I had quoted that tweet from the Packers and said something, are we going to ignore that Evan Williams just like beautifully peanut punched it out?
Yep.
The comment underneath it, gosh, I wish I could have found it. He put the asterisk as in a correction typo change.
Yeah.
Packer punch. I mean,
well, yeah, because that peanut Tillman Packers.
Right.
Not but something we really knows, want to associate
everyone
together.
Everyone knows that it's called the peanut punch when you do it like that. I understand it's the Bears. But I don't know. I think that I feel like the game was already out of reach by then. I think for me personally, the Xavier McKinney interception and return was really just, it stood out to me because that was the first time the Packers have had a turnover since Jacksonville.
No.
Yes.
Has it been that long?
They haven't had a turnover since Jacksonville.
This is the play he's talking about.
High throw, he's picked off. It's McKinney again. Xavier McKinney blocks. Down the sideline he goes. Finally knocked out of bounds inside the 25. His seventh of the year, it ties for the league lead, and a huge one for Green Bay.
Highlight courtesy of Fox 6. If I could have a personal TV announcer for the Packers for the rest of my life, I think Kevin Burkhardt would be my personal TV announcer.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
I think he'd be mad. And with all due respect to everybody else, there's a lot of good play-by-play guys. I really like Kevin Burkhardt.
I would say Kevin Harlan joins the chat.
Love Kevin Harlan, too.
Harlan is awesome.
But there's a little family stuff going on there. That's a little more, you know.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, the Harlans are family.
Right.
Burkhardt's not family.
I get it.
Yeah, but Burkhardt's so good.
But
man.
Even unbiasedly, Kevin Harlan is awesome he's calling everything.
I do miss Olsen over Brady. I would take Olsen back in a heartbeat with Burkhardt versus Brady.
Yeah, everyone was getting a lot of love to Brady, saying he's gotten a lot better.
He's getting better,
I still don't think he's, you know, number one guy. I think Olsen's better right now still.
Yeah, I
know,
agree. Yes.
I know that their plan is getting better. But, yeah, it was the Edgerrin Cooper strip sack on Trevor Lawrence that Devontae Wyatt recovered.
Yep.
Was the last time the Packers had a takeaway. It had been 2.5 games.
That's a long time. And that, if we're being honest, was because Debo missed the ball. It went right through his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And right into McKinney's hands. That wasn't McKinney jumping in front of a passing lane or anything like that. That was just kind of being heads up, goes through his hands, boom, right into McKinney, and away he went.
Set the offense up the next drive, too. I mean,
and then you score with a Josh Jacobs touchdown, if memory serves correct, in that play.
Yes.
Or in that drive. So, yeah, that was obviously a big play as well. And the other thing, too, you know, we talk about this Packers defense, and I really wanted a lot more pressure on Allen than we got in this game. I guess I was thinking we were going to have more pressure on Allen, and that wasn't necessarily the case. They started getting there a little bit more there towards the end of the game when they had the lead and they weren't as afraid of getting beat on the big play because they were up by a significant amount so they could pin their ears back and go a little bit more. But I still thought they would have been better off going more at Allen. Allen's not somebody that's going to run upfield 20, 30 yards on you. So if you were going to blitz and bring the pressure, you could. They chose to sit back and see if he would turn over the football.
Yeah, you could also tell that the offense was driven, it was dialed up today for Allen to get the ball out quickly. He wasn't holding on to the ball. He wasn't looking downfield a whole lot. And then when he did, you know, Xavier McKinney.
Correct.
Interception right there. So it was all about the quick pass today. When he did hold on to the ball for a while, he did get a fumble on him as well. The Quay Walker sack, the Lucas Van Ness. Was there one other one in there? Am I missing a sack in there? They only have the two.
But I think so.
I thought that they had decent pressure. I think I've just come to gripes with that this Packer team is not a pass-rushing team. And so if you get two sacks in a game, I'm already excited because I don't expect you to get 6 or 7 like a San Francisco healthy or a Pittsburgh with a TJ Watt is going to do.
That's the thing, too. I was thinking about this earlier. As far as we look at this team, is there anywhere where you wish you had a superstar in place of somebody right now? My first one was Devontae Adams in place of Christian Watson. That was my first one. Like, this offense could be next level if you had a Davante Adams type player instead of, say, Christian Watson in there. And then to what your point is, if you had a, Watt out there instead of Rashawn Gary, how much better is his defense?
I would take a pass rusher before a pass catcher on this team.
Sure, absolutely. But I'm just saying, yes. If you're looking for, okay, where can I put a superstar that would give us the biggest bang for our buck over a current player, I think wide receiver at the top on offense, and then on the, because I wouldn't even say left tackle. I feel like Rasheed Walker's been good enough. I don't think they need that. Along the line, I think they're okay. Running back, I think, is fine. Kraft's more than good enough at tight end, so I don't think they need somebody there. So for me, it would be a true one because they need somebody that can catch the ball consistently. And then pass rush has to be another one that would really upgrade this team.
I think you're selling Rashawn Gary too high, and that's why you have the pass rush at number two on your list. Because I think Romeo Doubs is really separating himself. Did you see him have... This is so Romeo Doubs. The one time he's going to show emotion at all on the field is how excited he's about to be when Christian Watson is going to catch a touchdown pass. And then he's just deflated immediately.
That's
because
his guy.
Dropped it.
That's like his best friend.
Yes, he showed emotion today, and you're always so critical of him being emotionless.
Emotionless, yes.
But I think Rashawn Gary is just not good. I think we missed on a signing. I think he is a worse number one edge rusher than Romeo Doubs is a worse number one wide receiver.
I'll give you another one that's emotionless in sports that drives me crazy. And he's not on the Bucks. He's on the Celtics. Jaylen Brown's another guy that normally is pretty much flatline.
A robot.
I saw a tweet of him grinning and smiling ear to ear. It's the happiest I've ever seen him in a picture, including the championship. Because he got to meet a childhood idol hero of his that he used to watch on TV. Do you know who it was?
Jaylen Brown's a little bit older than me, so it'd probably be someone I know. I don't know.
Maybe not. Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
He got to meet Bill Nye, the science guy. He was pointing at him and smiling ear to ear that he got to meet Bill Nye, the science guy. This is the happiest I've ever seen Jaylen Brown in a picture in my life.
It's a big part of our childhood.
I was like, see that? It's not even basketball, but that made him excited that he got to meet Bill Nye, the science guy. How cool is that? All right, take a quick timeout. Come back on the other side. We have to come up with our defensive play of the game. We haven't done that yet. We still have to come up with our MVP of the game, turning point of the game. Lots to do. Also want to hear from you, too. Nicolay Law, talk and text line, 414-677-1250. What's the one play that stood out to you in this game that got you going a little bit? 414-677-1250. It's the Green Bay Football Post Game Show, driven by Young Express, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here.
All of my day nasty D.
Who made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game. On the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Let's go! 38-10! Packers get it done in splendid fashion. Defense turned it up there in the second half, creating turnovers. Three on the day for the Packers. And you could not have asked for a better outcome for this Packers team, where they were able to go a little stress-free at the end of the game. I mean, they even had Malik Willis in the game at the end of the game. Jordan Love got to have a little breather, which is good because you got a short turnaround now. Now, the other positive is scheduling gods of the NFL really helped out the Packers. No travel. They didn't have to travel today. So they get to go home, go right back to bed, and get right back at it on a short week. And guess what? They don't have to travel for Thanksgiving either. Right back here on Thursday night against the Dolphins. And it is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here, Tommy Wirtz over there. Time now to talk about the defensive play of the game. What say you, Tommy Wirtz?
We've talked about a couple of defensive plays today. I probably would have went with a different defensive play of the game if we hadn't already talked about it, but I feel like there's another player. I thought you were going to go in a different direction today. I think the game was a little more out of reach. That's why you didn't pick this play. But when you want to talk about someone who did something surprising on a football field, it's hard to not mention Lucas Van Ness today.
Allen in there, who's been a backup to Purdy for a couple seasons, and now he's forced into a fourth quarter game where it's basically a pass the ball.
He slips again, and Allen hit. Ball is loose, and is picked up by Green Bay. Lucas Van Ness got the sack. Packers get it back.
Yeah, I mean, Quay Walker, I know we are always very critical of him, but Lucas Van Ness, you could probably get just as much criticism, honestly, especially with Preston Smith now being traded and the year two jump we were kind of hoping for because of how underwhelming year one might have been. It doesn't matter if it's against a backup quarterback, backup left tackle, whatever. Early, he was on the right side, but still, you know, it's nice to see him make a play because this guy needs to make a play every once in a while.
Yeah, more than once in a while would be nice.
Yes.
Because so far, he has not produced the way that they wanted him to, Bruce, I don't think, when they drafted him. Don't forget, tomorrow, all day long, Green and Gold Monday. It all starts the Pack-A-Day radio show with Andy Herman tomorrow morning from 8 to 9 a.m., 8:20. Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette will join Andy Herman. Make sure to tune in for that. Mason Crosby show with Mitch Thunder Nellis from 9 to 11. Then it's Jim Rome. And then right back at you with the Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's 2 to 5. And we will have our guy Tyler Dunn on from GoLongTD.com at 2:40 tomorrow afternoon. So lots and lots of Packers football conversation. There might be some sprinkled in demoralizing Badger talk as well. But we'll try and keep it positive with the Packers, I think, throughout the day. That Badger game was depressing.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. All right, let's hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love, who talked after the game and anxious to see how he feels. I would think he feels pretty good on the game. No interceptions. Offense scored 38 points in the game. I think you have to have a happy Jordan Love after this one. It's interesting to me. There's some of Jordan Love, not playing all of it, but that's 4 minutes of it. It's interesting to me, Tommy Wirtz, that LaFleur literally made a decision to not defer anymore several weeks ago and instead take the ball first when, for the rest of his career, he was deferring time in and time out. Now, all of a sudden, he made the decision to have the ball first. I'm not sure. He says it's gut feel is what LaFleur has said in the past. I'm not really sure why this is. Like, is it because he doesn't trust the defense enough to not give up a first drive score because they seemingly struggle stopping everybody's first drive of the game? I feel like it's been this way all year with Halfley. And then after that, they kind of figure it out by the time they get to the second half. And you kind of want to have that lead early. Is it wanting to get Jordan Love in this offense in rhythm as soon as the game starts after you've talked to him and so forth? I can't put my finger on it, but he definitely is all in on this getting the ball first.
So I do know that the 49ers did defer the opening coin toss today.
Correct.
So it wasn't in his hands. But even regardless, you're correct.
But he's been taking the ball first receiving for the last several weeks.
Yes, for sure. I think maybe he wants more control of the game earlier in the game because he doesn't get to control the defense nearly as much, and or if at all, then he gets to go out there. He gets to be the person calling the shots early in the game, setting the tone, and it's Matt LaFleur out there getting ready to go. So,
but again, What to me, it has to be about lack of faith in the defense. That has to be part of it. Because again, if you look at first drives, I would love to know what that stat is. Like, on average, how much does that opposing offense move on the first drive of the game? How many yards do they move before they either punt or score on the first drive this year against Jeff Halfley defenses? So the Packers get the ball first, fine. I'm just saying the first time the opposing offense touches the ball, whether it's the first drive or the first possession of the game or the second possession of the game, how often do they move the football down the field? It feels like, to me, Halfley's defense seemingly always gets moved on the first drive.
Yeah, I'm sure I can find it too. And we've talked about how he's a great adjuster at halftime all year, right?
Takes until halftime, yes, but yes, we get there.
He is a guy who struggles a little bit earlier in games and usually figures it out at the end. I don't know. I think it might be just more of a confidence boost in Matt LaFleur's way than it is, I can't send my defense out there and we got to go down like that right away. I think maybe Matt LaFleur has more confidence in himself that he's studied the plays, he's watched the film, he's implemented a game plan that he's confident enough in that, hey, I'm going to go score a touchdown. Not just points, a touchdown on the first drive of the game. And today especially, I think with a backup quarterback and you're going up against a guy who hasn't played an NFL game in 2 years, if you can make him have to play from behind, early in the game and have that mindset that maybe they're going to have to open the playbook up throwing the football with a guy who doesn't throw the football that much in the NFL, not a bad idea.
3 years. I think 21 was the last time he played. I mean, that, to me, that was the thing, too. Those first two drives for the Niners, he just didn't look like he knew what was going on. Like, everything was moving super fast, I felt like, for Allen, and he was just kind of befuddled a little bit. But then the game slowed down on what was the third or the fourth drive for the Niners, and he started to make a couple of throws. And then you could see in his face the confidence starting to build a little bit, like, oh, yeah, okay, now I'm back in my groove. It's been a while, but I got it now. And then you could just see it go. The thing that I didn't see coming, and maybe everybody else did, I didn't see all the turnovers getting forced by the Packers. I didn't. Now, again, the punch on McCaffrey, nothing McCaffrey can do about that, I don't think. When the ball gets punched out from you from behind, you can have it as hold it on as tight as possible, but if a guy punches it out just right, it's gone. So I don't blame necessarily McCaffrey for that. The interception to McKinney, that was on Dobbs not making that play. That ball went right through his hands. That I don't think that was Allen's fault either. So, I mean, realistically, as far as how he played in the game, I think if I'm Kyle Shanahan, if I have to go with him again, I feel much better about the next game than I did going into this game, probably.
I don't think he played that well. I don't think it was anything crazy. I think that they didn't implement McCaffrey well. And maybe going out and getting the ball first and trying to be ahead, you think to take away the run game a little more, too, and then that takes McCaffrey out of the game.
Yep.
And I don't know. I thought that I was listening to another program coming into the show or coming into work today, and it was if they can hold McCaffrey to under 130 all-purpose yards, they'll win the game. Like, I mean, that was the right? I think if you tell everyone McCaffrey's got 100 yards on the day, that's fine. All right? He doesn't have a game where he goes out and explodes.
He had 68.
Yeah.
That's all. All purpose. 68. 31 rushing on 11 carries, an average of 2.8. Three catches on 37 for 37 yards on four targets.
So
shut him down.
What was, you know, was that Quay Walker guarding him, face guarding him? Was that just the defensive scheme was ready to go?
I think the Packers defense decided we're going to play the run, and Shanahan knew it until Allen could prove that he could throw it over the top. They were going to play the run, and Shanahan knew he had to throw it somewhat in order to loosen things up before he could go back to the run.
Well, and he tried to right away. The first two plays of the game were pass plays for Brandon Allen.
He was lost.
Yeah, and you could tell he hadn't been hit before. Yep. I mean, they went 2-3 and outs right away. I don't believe they got a first down until the second quarter in the game. The first half flew in this game.
Yes.
It was an hour for the first half, and then the third quarter was as long as the first half. In this game, because then they started to open it up,
it was.
And neither quarterback could complete a pass
Correct.
The entire quarter.
Awful.
So I think that Shanahan, I don't know, personally, I think that Josh Dobbs being up from their practice squad now, after a week, he's going to give him a run for his money next week because he at least gives you some sort of dynamics in the offense.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think Brandon Allen ever at one point in this game was I like, oh no, is he starting to heat up? Is this,
right.
Is this a Jason Garrett type situation here? Like, no, I was never.
Look at you
in that
going
mode.
Back to before you were alive, bringing up Jason Garrett and the Cowboys.
I know my stuff, man. I know my stuff.
Hey, Badgers are the Greenbrier tip-off champions for 2024. Can't say I've ever heard of the Greenbrier to begin with prior
what?
To this, but that's cool. As long as they won, that's good. They won a tournament. They were down 14 in that game and came all the way back. They were down early
hotel.
In the first half.
Very famous hotel in West Virginia.
It's a hotel.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you tell by the production where it looks like a D3 gym right there?
It did not look like a great gym, no.
It's a hotel in West Virginia. It's one of the few six-star hotels.
Six-star. I didn't know there was six-star. I thought five-star
really
was the highest.
There really isn't, but Greenbrier is that awesome that it's...
What's the average price?
Too much.
No, I want to know.
Oh, average price of a room?
Per night. Six
thousands,
stars?
Thousands
shut
thousands
up.
A night. Oh,
thousands?
Yeah. Yeah.
For a one-bedroom hotel?
At the Greenbrier.
I want two queen-size beds at the Greenbrier. Tell me how much money. There's no... First of all, I've never even heard of a six-star hotel.
Book a two-night weekend stay on select dates for $1,250 to...
That's 50, two nights.
So that's two
600.
Nights. But yes. That's the crappiest room they have, I promise you.
Let me explain something to you. My kid's in travel baseball. He'll be in 9U next summer, okay? They have two tournaments in Illinois. One in Rantoul, where I've been a million times with my eldest. The other one is in Peoria, okay? Following along?
I am.
The Rantoul one, you have to stay in Champaign for the most part if you want to stay. Rooms are like $300 a night.
That's for
300 a night.
That's for a 200 square foot room.
Yes, 300 a night for a hotel in Champaign, Illinois. You're telling me this is a 6-star hotel. I promise you we aren't staying in more than a 3-star hotel in Champaign for 300. And so, yes, I don't have money to pay for 600. I don't have money to pay for 300. Got to figure that out still. But I'm just telling you, like, yeah, hotel prices are nuts, man. They're completely out of control. Packers win 38-10. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur coming up next. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Packers win, 38-10.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
Who was the most valuable player for Green Bay today?
On three. One, two, three.
Who stood out the most?
Here we go!
It's time to announce the MVP of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
We are live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Packers win 38-10. Tommy Wirtz producing Other Side of the Glass. Thanks for tuning in. Hope y'all are doing well here on a Sunday evening, or maybe it's Monday when you're listening to this bad boy on your Odyssey app or at thefanmilwaukee.com. And I will tell you, if it's listening here Sunday night, what's coming up on Monday. Our guy Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press Gazette joins Andy Herman on the Pack-A-Day radio show tomorrow morning at 8:20. That show's on from 8 to 9 o'clock. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Then Jim Rome, 11 to 2. And then yours truly with the Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's from 2 to 5. And we will have Tyler Dunn from GoLongTD.com on, who wrote a great piece last week that I discovered literally today while my kid was at baseball practice. I found it and read the whole thing, involving Leroy Butler and Evan Williams, the Packers rookie safety, sitting down and having a meal together. And Tyler Dunn documents the whole thing, and it is awesome. It's so good. So we'll have Tyler Dunn on to talk about that. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on the Packer-Niner game today as well. So again, that's tomorrow, 2:40. He'll join us on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Time for your MVP of the game. What say you, Tommy Wirtz?
I mean, it's Josh Jacobs. Has to be. Has to be Josh Jacobs. There's no one else that's even close. He was electric the entire game. First drive of the game, it was all built on him, even though he didn't get the touchdown. He was running the ball all the way up and down. And then you go with 3 touchdowns today. Who else can it be?
So second and goal. See what they do here.
Cheat up. Cheat up and just quicker into the hole.
19 or something.
Jacobs, no shot. Barreling forward. Touchdown again. Number 3 for Jacobs in Green Bay.
Beautiful thing. First time he's ever had 3 rushing touchdowns in a game for Josh Jacobs. And he talked after the game.
3 touchdowns today for Josh Jacobs. 3rd time it's happened in your career. You don't remember the other 2?
Nah, man. I just be out there playing.
Yeah, you certainly were. And you were finding those holes, missed tackles. How were you able to do that? What was the key for you today?
Man, you know, I know how much this game meant to the team, man. You know, watching them last year, devastating loss to these guys, I know how much it meant. So I just wanted to set the tone and the standard today.
Speaking of setting a tone, your coach and quarterback have told us you set a tone out there when you run and the things you say to defenders. What are you saying to them when they're missing tackles? You got to tell us.
Hey, it's a reason why I don't let y'all mic me up.
Not even a little bit?
Nah, man. Nothing I be saying could be put on TV for real.
Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love also talking with us this week and a couple weeks ago about what a fit you have been for this team. What has Green Bay done for you, your playing career, and all of that this year?
I mean, they believed in me. They took a chance on me. So every day I come in and I try to pour everything that I got into them. I try to invest into my teammates and I try to be a leader. You know, each day, you know, you might have ups and downs, but I try to set that standard.
Still aren't going to give us an idea what you say to those defenders, huh?
It'll come out one day.
We got to get a mic on this guy, Josh Jacobs. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. Josh Jacobs and Aaron Andrews after the game on Fox. And I said it was first. So apparently it was his 3rd. I thought I saw the graphic.
First as a Packer.
First as a Packer.
Yes.
I misread it. So either way, nicely done by Josh Jacobs today. I agree. I think he has to be your MVP of the game as well. And speaking of MVPs, you have to talk about our guys over there at Young Express. MVPs for sure. They're looking for full-time independent contractors. People that are willing to drive, man or woman, does not matter, within 250 miles of Milwaukee. So local full-time independent contractors. Looking for people that have cargo or Sprinter vans. and you're going to drive for a living. Great job for retirees looking for that second career, want some flexibility in their schedule, because pretty much you're setting your own hours. You just got to tell them what you want to do on a week-to-week basis and so forth, and they'll work with your schedule. And you're just driving, right? You pick up, you drop off. So Dispatch tells you where to go, 24-7 Dispatch team. They have over 700 direct customers. They're like, okay, Tommy, we're sending you to Fond du Lac. And then once you get the freight, you're going from Fond du Lac down to Kenosha, and then we'll let you know where you're going after you drop off your freight in Kenosha, and then you go. And then it's pretty cool, because while you're driving, you just turn on 1250 AM or 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can listen to us talk and keep you entertained throughout the day while you're making some money. And at the end of the day, stress-free lifestyle is always a good thing. 99% no-touch freight. Freight's loaded and offloaded for you. So all you have to do is just drive. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. All right, we have to hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur here because I can't wait to hear what this sounds like. I would assume, outside of the struggles in the third quarter with the offense, he's got to be genuinely happy with a 38-10 victory for the Pack over the 49ers, who, again, were depleted by injuries. Here's Matt LaFleur. I'll tell you what, it's a nice win for the Packers, but it's not going to get any easier. They win 38-10 today, but now it's the Dolphins. Tua threw four touchdown passes today against the Patriots. So Miami comes Thursday night. We'll be on the air right here after the game. Tommy Wirtz and I working on Thanksgiving night, taking your calls. The next four games, all primetime games. They don't have another afternoon kick until week 17 at the Vikings, if that doesn't get flexed by that point. That's the next time. It's versus Miami, 7:20 start. Then the following Thursday at Detroit, 7:15. Then Sunday night, 7:20. Then Monday night against the Saints. Late nights, but you know what? It's okay. And because the Packers are 8-3 and in prime position to be in the postseason again. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Don't forget, everything gets underway tomorrow. Pack-A-Day Radio Show, 8 to 9. Pete Doherty at 8:20. Then the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thundernellis, 9 to 11. And Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's from 2 to 5. Tyler Dunn at 2:40. Enjoy the rest of your night. Packers get the victory. It's been the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Have a good one. Toodles!